We're in 2 Timothy today. 2 Timothy chapter 4, looking at verses 6 to 8 and 16 to 18, in a sermon entitled Victory. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8 and 16 to 18. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, the words and promise of this scripture speak to us all. And we ask, O God, that as we see the final victory that will be given to all who know Jesus, that we would be comforted by that, and that, Lord, we would be directed by that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there once was a man who acquired a claim to a gold field in California. The claim was in a very lonely spot in the mountains, and this guy started to dig. He started to dig for gold, and what he found was that somebody had been there before. Somebody else had been digging. Somebody else had been trying to find gold. A lot of work had been done. And as he was going through all the stuff and excavating it, he found an old rusted pick. Its handle rotted off, but its point sticking firmly in the rocky soil. And he went to work, and to his amazement, just a few feet beyond where he had found the pick, he came upon a rich vein of gold. Later, he'd learned that another man had once worked that claim, and this man had invested years of his life searching for gold. He also had begun with high hopes and great dreams, but those hopes dissipated into bitter disappointment when he labored and was not rewarded. It became harder day by day to sustain that dream, to swing the pick, to lift the shovel, without any evidence of progress. And so he quit. He quit. Just a few feet from striking it rich. Just think, if he had just persevered just a few days longer, he might have been a very wealthy man. There's a study done of Nobel Prize winners. And this study revealed that these Nobel Prize winners were no brighter intellectually than many other colleagues of theirs. Something else explained their success. When their colleagues were asked to explain the winner's success, the answer was this. They said the Nobel Prize winners were good finishers. That is, they kept working when others had given up. Now, last week we dealt with how important it is that we never give up in our prayer life. And thank you for reminding us of that and of the commitment, Silas, that you and others have. We must look today at the reality of how important it is to persevere, to keep on going. Paul writes a second letter, and he's writing it to a specific person. We've been talking about audience. Well, he's writing this to a young pastor named Timothy. And Paul is looking over all the years of his life, all the years of his service to Christ, And he says this to this young pastor that's going to outlive him. He says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Here is a reality that all of us must face, church. Many of us have good beginnings. Many of us see the dreams and visions that God has given us, and we move along. We move along. We're so excited in the beginning. Maybe when you first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the progress in your spiritual life was exponential. It was amazing. But I'm telling you, even though you've begun in a certain point, you have to finish. And the secret of life is not where you begin, but where you finish. And that means sometimes that you just keep on keeping on when it would just be much more simple and easy to just throw up your hands in futility and despair and just walk away. I've had it. I can't take anymore. But God wants us to hang in there. God wants us to see it through. And he's willing to help us. There's so many that have lesser determination, lesser courage, lesser character. Just cut their losses, seek escape. Can be true in a marriage, even a good one. Can be true in raising children. Can be true in pursuing your dreams, your vocation, battling disease and old age. It's true in a host of areas of life, including your faithfulness to Christ. In the words of heavyweight boxer Jim Corbett, the secret of success is often simply fighting one more round. Just one. Or as an aging Winston Churchill put it in a speech to a group of young men, never give up, never give up, never, never, never. I'm telling you this morning that we have an example of someone who never gave up. The Apostle Paul. Now, all of us may be going through something today, or you just came through something, or you're just about to go through something. Don't give up. Paul had shipwrecks. Paul had numerous beatings. Paul had imprisonment, and yet, in spite of all of these overwhelming attacks, he was faithful to his calling as a missionary and preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, it is a wonderful thing. There's so much talk of finishing well. Of finishing well, and Paul is coming to the end of his life here. He's looking back over everything that he said and done. And he indicates, I've fought the good fight. Some of you just need to be reminded that you need to be fighting the good fight. And sometimes it's just trying to lift your hand up to just throw a punch, even though you don't know whether it's going to be able to even get out of your hand. It's the effort. It's the desire to keep fighting the good faith. Because as we do that, we can and will finish it. We will finish the race. He could say that he'd done that and kept the faith. There's so many things in life that can drive us away from God. We forget who we are and who he is, and all of a sudden we begin drifting apart. And without even knowing it, we become so far away from him that we no longer can feel his presence, his power, his peace. What can we learn from the Apostle Paul's words? Well, first of all, I got to tell you, a few things in life of real worth come easily. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight against an enemy who wants to spiritually undo not only the call that God has placed on your life, but your very life itself. We have an enemy that will attack your family, will hurt your children, will injure your body, all to keep you from focusing on the race that you are in and the fight that you are engaged in. I have to tell you, church, it isn't easy. It is not easy to always keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. I got to tell you, you get knocked down, you get knocked out. You just kind of look up dazed before you get up to continue on. And yet the Lord has placed us here for a purpose and a reason. He is allowing things to happen in His perfect will that we might be better people, and that He will accomplish something that we don't even know is on the way. Like that vein of gold, we may very well just be a few feet away from an enormous blessing that cannot be contained. And so we must not stop. We must not give up on the nation. We must not give up on family members who reject Christ. We must continue to pray. We must continue to fight the good fight. We must continue to fight the good fight as depression overcomes people. As we are overwhelmed by circumstances, as roadblocks come in the way that keep us from accomplishing what we know God wants us to do. Amen. Keep fighting. Nothing in life that's really worth anything comes easily. You work really hard. Rob knows with this production, oh my goodness, all the work, all the effort that goes into one series of productions that people can see. The effort is not easy. Washing clothes, by the way, isn't easy either. I just have to say, I'm missing Lucy, and I'm washing clothes. But few things in a life of real value are acquired without momentous effort and consecrated determination. Now, one person who was given a task by God was Dr. Kenneth Taylor. And his dream, his vision to convert the New Testament into a format that nearly everybody could read easily was given to him. It took him 6 years to accomplish the task. First publisher he sent his finished manuscript to said, no way, don't like it. Second one did. Third one did. Finally, he used all the savings he had to publish it himself. 800 copies were sold the first year. He didn't quit. He continued to seek a publisher. And today there have been more than 40 million copies of Dr. Taylor's work sold. Some of you may own a copy. It's known as the Living Bible. Few things in life of real worth come easy. As they say, no pain, no gain. Lucy's mom is seeing that. She got a new knee, but boy, oh boy, she's going to get a lot of gain. But before she gets there, she's going to go through a lot of pain. Now, Paul understood the reality of this so much better than many of us do. He gave his all. And as a result of that, he is remembered as one of the most influential men who ever lived. Second thing, the real challenge in life is to be at your best even when it doesn't seem to matter. Sometimes we're struggling and doing everything we can with that bicycle to get up the hill, and we're standing to do it and everything else, and it's like, am I going to go off and then walk up the hill? But sometimes when we need to be our best, we're just on the straightaway. the easy straight road ahead, and this time matters. God wants to use us during those times. Paul gave everything he had, all the time. His life was a study in excellence, and he could look back in personal satisfaction because he had fought the good fight. That's the meaning of character. That's the meaning of character, to say I had some tough breaks. I had some heartbreaks along the way, but I gave it my best shot, regardless of the circumstances. I'm telling you right now, such dedication will always earn a reward. Give your best, regardless of your circumstances. It's a great secret of successful living, whether you're an athlete or an artist or a business person or a parent or a spouse. Just give your best. You know, like I said before, few things in life of real value come easily. The challenge in life is to be at your best even when it doesn't matter. And this brings us to another thing to be said. It's important that we have a worthy purpose that we give our lives to. And so we must ask ourselves the question today, what is your purpose? Why are you here? What does God want you to do? I don't care how old you are. I don't care how sick you are. I don't care how depressed you are. I don't care how overwhelmed you are. God has a purpose for you. God wants to accomplish something through you, even in the pain, even in the difficulty, even in the trial. Paul had a purpose that helped him persevere when every earthly helper had forsaken him. Let's look at this back part of what we were examining today. He indicates, as he's finishing this fight, that he had some challenges along the way. I mean, the shipwrecks and the beatings are one thing, but what happens when, at my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. Lord, there's nobody helping me. What happened? The people I thought that were going to help bear the burden with me, they're gone. They've deserted me. They've lost the reality of the purpose of following the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. But he says, hey, may not be held against them. But then he says something that we all must know is a reality of today. Even though he had been deserted, even though he was overwhelmed, even though he very well could have thrown up his hands and said, God, this is enough. This is too much. The Bible says, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. The Lord is standing at your side, and the Lord will give you strength because he has called you to a purpose that is not completed. The Great Commission is not done. We continue. The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through the message it might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. He was a missionary that wanted people to come to Jesus. He was willing to go through anything because he knew that was the purpose to which he had been called. And so he was able to endure anything, including one of the hardest things that we can face in life. When friends betray us, when they abandon us, when they hurt us. We must, especially in those times, remember our purpose. We must, especially in those times, know that we have a purpose. No matter what pain we're going through, it is to proclaim the gospel. People are are looking at us. God wants you to be touching a life that could come to know Jesus. You don't know the networks. You don't know how one child tells mom. Mom tells auntie. All of a sudden somebody recalls someone else's seed that's planted, and you don't know that the prayer or the word resulted in salvation somewhere else. That is the work of the Spirit. But we must be here. We must be available. And we must hold on tightly to the reality that we have a purpose. We have a purpose. He then said, hey, I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Here's a great one for all of us. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Feeling under attack, anybody? The Bible says the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. A faith that in the midst of evil attacks, the spiritual warfare would produce deliverance even when everybody else had deserted him and he was finding himself in a difficult place. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know if you've ever been beaten. I don't know whether you've ever been in a shipwreck, but I do know that as my body gets older, any fall that I've had in the past tends to influence me today. My body is a living barometer. I seem to know when the weather's on its way before it gets here. I point this out to you only to say all of the stuff that the Apostle Paul had happened to him in his body had to impact him as it does to us on his daily life. He experienced pain. He experienced hardship. He experienced things like you're going through, maybe worse. And what he said, what he was pointing to was, hey, whew, I got to the end. I fought the good fight. That is really what we want to hear from the Lord, right? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, what is the well done? How do we get to well done? We fight the good fight. Fight. And we know, as Wayne told us, that Emmanuel, God is with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He gave his own son. We are more than conquerors, as our reading was there. Paul had a purpose that drove him to excellence in all things. His purpose was to serve Christ. You know, we retire from our jobs, our kids grow up. Sometimes our spouses precede us to go with God. But I have to tell you that the service of Christ is for all eternity. There is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also all those who've longed for his appearing. I'm telling you, friends, finishing is everything in the Christian life. Because the reality is, this life is the prelude. It's not the service. That's on its way. Nice prelude. God with us. The gospel is the prelude. This world is a preparatory school. The real world is yet to come. Gary Inra, in his book, A Call to Excellence, gives a really beautiful analogy of this principle. Years ago, there was a Japanese gymnast, Shun, and he was competing in the team competition. During the floor exercises, he broke his right knee. Olympian, competing, Olympics. It was obvious to everybody that he'd have to withdraw. I mean, come on. His right knee was broken. That seemed obvious anyway. But Shun refused to give up. On the following day, he competed in his strongest event, the rings. His routine was excellent, but the critical point lay at the end of the event. The ending requires the gymnast to fling himself through the air, which makes for quite a jarring landing. Worse yet, the event can be won or lost by how gracefully the gymnast lands. We've seen that before. They hit it hard, and it's like, or they don't, and that's a whole different matter. Now, remember, he has a broken knee, and you imagine the reaction of the crowd when, without hesitation, he ends his routine with a twisting triple somersault. Now, you can imagine there's a moment of intense quiet as he lands with tremendous impact on his broken knee. And then came the thundering applause as he stood his ground. And later reporters asked about that moment, and he replied, "The pain shot through me like a knife. It brought tears to my eyes. But now I have a gold medal, and the pain is gone." Paul said, "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith." And then he added, "Henceforth there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearing." I'm telling you right now, wherever you are in life, few things come easily. Life can be a struggle. And the real challenge is to give God our best, no matter what that best is. And the reason we give him our all and the reason we give him our best is he has given us a purpose. The purpose is to follow him. The purpose is to be his disciples. The purpose is to be his witnesses. We are in an endeavor that has the worthiest purpose of all: service to the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether you're doing laundry or the dishes or running or walking or experiencing whatever you're experiencing, understand that in it all, as you focus forward, the purpose is to serve Christ. In it all, he will see you through. Thank you, Lord, for the victory we have in you.